Good to see you today. We're thankful that you're here and thankful to God that we have an opportunity to worship together. And as our minds turn toward Him, we turn open our Bibles, because there God has revealed Himself in His Son and His Word to us, that we might understand His will for our lives day by day. And so I invite a careful attention now to what God reveals to us and the things that we've prepared to study, that we can make a choice to grow and to be, as Seth read in the passage for us, among those who have a pattern set before us, to follow that pattern, to choose to follow the pattern that God puts before us. And that's our study this morning, patterns to follow. Patterns are important. In fact, I would say more than important, they are valuable. There's value to patterns. We have building codes and then blueprints to follow in building structures so that they're safe. And there's value that obviously attaches to that. Anybody take any medicine this morning or last night? Any pills or something? Well, you know, whether you thought about it or not, certain pharmaceutical compounds were strictly followed. A pattern of some sort was applied so that that medicine, you could have trust in that medicine. So there's value in following patterns, else you might be poisoning yourself instead of improving your health. Everybody drive on the road to get here today? I think so. You followed a pattern, didn't you, that had been laid down, whether you thought about it or not. We followed the pattern of the road to get here, and the traffic signs and laws and such as that. Clothes are made by patterns. We're thankful for air traffic controllers who, when we fly, they control the pattern of the traffic in the air. On and on we could go. Patterns are valuable to us. Why is it that that is so readily and easily understood in this physical world, but when we get to the spiritual world, it's like no patterns exist? We want to think that any kind of pattern is restrictive and oppressive. In fact, therefore, are good. You see, the fact is, what about religion? Religion has patterns too. God revealed religion. In James, the first chapter, and beginning in verse 25, it says, "He who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." So there's a pattern, a perfect law, a complete law that is a law of liberty. And if we will do it, we will be blessed. But if anyone thinks that he is religious, now look at this, if anyone thinks himself to be religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Why is a person's religion useless? Because he has not looked into the perfect law and continued in it. Instead, he doesn't bridle his tongue. He speaks lies, or he speaks gossip, or he speaks deceit. He does not speak truth. He deceives himself in that conduct, but he hasn't followed God's pattern. And so his religion is useless. On the other hand, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit the orphans and widows in their affliction or trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Now, we have to, that statement implies that there's a standard about what the world is that we're to stay unspotted from. The perfect law of liberty tells us what the world is. It tells us how to stay unspotted from it. It tells us the life to live in reference to the holy God. There's a pattern that God has given us. Patterns are not just valuable from when we wake up and when we sleep in a physical world. They are essential in the spiritual world, in the spirit realm. And the decisions that you and I make as we live in this material world. The word that is often translated pattern in the New Testament is tupos, the Greek word. You can kind of see, if you be creative, you can see where we get our word type in the English language. Because that's what it means, is the archetype serving as a model or a pattern, you see, a design to follow. The word, by definition, meant literally a blow. And then to strike, like you strike something. When you strike something, it makes an impression. And so the word originally just meant to strike, you know, to hit a blow. But eventually it comes to mean the impression that blow leaves. So that there's an impression mark. So that's the blow, or that's the tupos, that's the pattern that is left. Now, in John 20 and verse 25 that we have on the chart, it's translated in the English language print. Look how it's used. In John 20 and verse 25, Jesus said, or the disciples said to Thomas, "We have seen the Lord." And he said to them, "Unless I see his hands and the print of the nails," there's our word. "Unless I see the print of the nails, the pattern that the nails left, and put my finger into the print, into the pattern of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." So it came to mean, as it's used here, is the impression that's left. Now, Christ is to leave an impression upon us. The image of Christ. We're to bear the image of Christ. We're to be shaped and molded into His image. Colossians 3 and verse 10 and other verses talk about that. So that we are to be impressed. So that the print left, the model or pattern left, is the imprint of Jesus Christ. Now, at the same time, God has left an impression. God has left example or pattern that we're to follow as individual Christians and for us as a local church. And when we follow the pattern, you see, when we find the print He's left and we follow it, the pattern, the example, the model, He says, "I'll bless you in that." Kind of like the man who looked into the perfect law of liberty and so continues, you see. But if we ignore His patterns, then we sin. Then our religion becomes useless. Then we're not following God's way, but the world's way. You see, patterns are valuable because now we come into the context that they're just not about our physical life and death. They're about our spiritual life and death. Eternal life or eternal death is wrapped up in this idea of patterns. This is not something that is esoteric, something way out there. We don't that doesn't have just in the theoretical. This is where we live, about the choices that we make in our lives, of whether or not we are in the blessing of God, saved from our sin, and with a real hope of heaven, or just a desire, a wish, without any substance. Let's talk about patterns in the Old Testament for a minute. Because you see, the Old Testament teaches us that God revealed patterns. And in fact, 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 11 says, "These things happened to them," that is to Israel, "by way of example." He said that's what they are. "These things happened to them as examples. And they are written for our admonition upon the ends of the ages have come." So, the things that happened to Israel are examples for us. They are models or patterns for us to learn from. Well, let me illustrate a pattern in the Old Testament. The tabernacle. Now, the tabernacle was a transportable, it was a mobile place where God said, "I will dwell with you, Israel." And there was the holy place and the most holy place inside this tent of meeting. Now, it had a court. And in this court, There was the altar of burnt offerings. There was the laver. And inside the holy place, there was a lampstand, and there was the altar of burnt incense, and there was the table of showbread. And then there was a veil that separated these two compartments inside the tent of meeting, and that was the most holy place where the Ark of the Covenant was with the mercy seat on it. And God gave very exacting instructions about constructing this tabernacle. What it amounted to, God gave him the blueprint. God says, here's how I want you to build this tabernacle. Don't just be haphazard about it. Don't just do it any way you want. In Exodus 25 and verse 9, the Word of God says, according to all that I show you, that is the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all of its furnishings, just so you shall make it. When they just so made it, by according to God's pattern, they reflected a respect for the one who gave them the pattern. By following exactly what God said to do in making the art, this furniture of the tabernacle and the court and the around the tabernacle and all of its elements, they would demonstrate a respect, a regard for God. It was He who gave the pattern. Moses didn't originate it. The priests didn't sit down and in a council decide it. In chapter 25 and verse 40, he went on to say, God did see that you make them according to the pattern which was shown you on the mountain. So it is God showed Moses, when Moses was on the mountain, the pattern he wanted to follow, he wanted him to follow in building the tabernacle. Again, in Numbers 8, that point is made. Now, in the New Testament, application of that is made. A reference is made of that. In Acts 7 and verse 44, Stephen said, "Our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness as he appointed, instructing Moses to make it according to the pattern that he had seen." God appointed the tabernacle. Moses saw the pattern. Moses saw the print, the model to follow. That is, he showed him the instructions. And he was told, as Hebrews 8 and 5 quotes from Exodus 25, "See that you make all things according to the pattern showed you on the mountain." And so Moses followed those instructions. And God had people and inspired people assisting them to build that pattern, or build that tabernacle according to God's pattern. Now, what if they had just not done it that way? What if they had just said, "I just don't think those curtains on that courtyard need to be, and I'm sorry, I don't have the specific figure in my head, such a height, we're going to raise it another two cubits." What's the difference? What does it matter? And the burnt offer, altar burnt offering. Why don't we just double its size? Because we want to give God a lot of sacrifices. After all, what does it matter? Now, can you imagine that God would have said, "That's okay. Go ahead and do it as you please"? Of course not. No, He said, "Make it the way I want it. Make it the way I want it. Make it the way I want it." So what happens? We come to the New Testament of Jesus Christ, and a lot of people have an attitude, we can make it however we want it. We can make the church however we want it. And we can make our lives however we want it. And we can do whatever we want, and God will accept us, because that's the way we want it. Really? Of course not. It shows disrespect for God. If God has said anything about patterns to us in the gospel of Jesus Christ, to have that kind of an attitude and approach is to show irreverence, disrespect, and unbelief in God Himself. Let's look at a few of the patterns, because indeed the New Testament talks about patterns. Just as God revealed a pattern in the Old Testament, and we just gave one illustration, God has revealed patterns for us to follow in the New Testament. In fact, the New Testament itself, in the broad sense, in a very general sense, is that pattern. In 2 Timothy 1 and verse 13, the Apostle Paul talks about holding fast the pattern. Here's our word. He says, hold fast the pattern of sound words. God struck a blow. God revealed an imprint, an impression of what He wants. He did that by means of revealing a word. And now you hold fast the pattern of sound words. By the way, Paul had already described in 1 Timothy, the sound words are the words of Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 4. It's the words He approves, He authorizes, that He preached and that He sent His apostles into the world to preach. Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. Jesus said in verse 19, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them." Why should He teach them? Why should they teach them? Because God has a pattern. Teaching them what? Teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. Moses, you be sure that you make everything according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. Disciples, you be careful to observe all things Christ has commanded. You see the parallel? You see the idea there? It's the same principle that's at work. If I'm going to be a disciple, if the gospel is going to be believed and obeyed, and I become a child of God, I become a Christian, now I have put myself voluntarily under the authority of Christ. It existed all along, but I've said, I'm going to submit to that. I'm going to follow that, because that's where salvation is. And I'm going to observe, I'm going to be taught, and I will receive the teaching to do all things that Christ authorizes, that Christ teaches me to be and to do. And so we have the body of the New Testament, the words approved by Jesus under the direction of the Holy Spirit inspired apostles, as the Holy Spirit inspired them to preach it and to write it. We have inspired Scripture that thoroughly equips us to every good work. 2 Timothy 3:17. So the New Testament itself is a pattern of sound words that we're to hold fast in faith and in love, which are in Christ Jesus. We'll get back to that verse, but note, you see, we're to hold it fast because in its sound words there is faith and there is love. It produces faith and it guides our faith. It teaches us love and it commands our love and teaches us the application of faith and love in our lives. It's a pattern we're supposed to follow. Now, we oftentimes talk about one of the ways we establish Bible authority is apostolic examples, apostolic patterns. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, Paul said, "Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ." Mimic me, Paul said. So he sets himself forward that to the degree that he was mimicking Christ, he says, we mimic him. Imitate the apostles as they are imitating Christ. Now, there were some things the apostles did we're not to imitate. We're not to imitate Peter when he was a hypocrite in Antioch, in Galatians chapter 2. But there's some things we're supposed to imitate. We're supposed to follow their example. They set an example. And so we talk about apostolic example as being the consistent pattern of practice of the apostles or those under the instruction of the apostles in the New Testament. That's why in Acts 20 and verse 7, he says on the first day of the week, when the disciples came to break bread. On the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul discoursed with them, intending to depart on the morrow. We follow an apostolic example to eat the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. we're commanded to eat the supper, but it's an example we follow to do it on Sunday. Because there's not a direct statement, eat the Lord's Supper on Sunday, on the first day, but we follow an example of the Apostle Paul with the Christians in Troas doing that very thing. You see, in Philippians 3 and verse 17, Brethren, join in following my example, the apostle wrote, and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. You have us for a pattern. So we have the apostles for a pattern. Chapter 4 and verse 9, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me. That harkens back to Matthew 28, 19 and 20. All that Jesus commanded, all that Jesus began to teach, and He continued to teach through His holy inspired apostles. He says, the things that you've learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you. So listen to the teaching of the apostles. Follow their example, their pattern, and God will be with you. 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 7. Paul would on another occasion say, for you yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we were not disorderly among you. The following us of verse 7 is the tradition handed down from Christ of verse 6. And again in verse 9, because you do not have authority, not because we do not have authority, but to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us. Paul said, we set an example for you to follow. We follow the apostles' example of the will of God. Now, what does that mean today? Well, for one thing, it means I have no right to say, well, you know, that's just the way Paul thought about it. But he lived under a different time and a different place, and that has no bearing on me today. I have no right to think that way, say that, not and be true to God. As Paul said, you imitate me. Paul said, the things you received from me, things you learned from me, things you saw in me, these things do. If I turn around and say, well, you know, Paul, that was okay for Paul, but that's not okay for me. I've just denied the very Word of God. Watch it. I've just said I don't need to follow the pattern God gave me. Is that where you want to go? Is that really the road you want to go down? No, that's not the road you want to take. Because that takes you to the road of the world. By the way, just as an aside, look at 1 John chapter 4. Greater is He who is in us than he who is in the world. All right, brethren, we need to hear that today. Greater is He who is in us than he who is in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us, and he who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. See, he says, by listening to the apostles, we have the spirit of truth. By listening to the apostles, following their word, then we are of God. The apostles are of God. When we listen to them, then we are of God. Because we're following the truth that came from God through them. God is greater. And so we are reminded He's given us apostles. Examples of His apostles that we can apply, that we can follow. Now, God's given us patterns on how to be saved. In Romans 6th chapter, verses 17 and 18, I know the world is full of ideas of salvation that just really essentially ends up being however you think that you'll get to heaven, that's okay. As long as you believe in God and you want, you're a good person, and you'll go to heaven. What about sin in all that mix? What about salvation from sin in that? What about the teaching of Jesus Christ In Romans 6, 17 and 18, God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, you were sinners, you were bound up, tied up in sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered, or that to which you were entrusted. You were obedient. You from the heart you obeyed a mold. The form of doctrine is pattern. There's our word. You obeyed a pattern. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. God says there's a pattern. Paul said there's a pattern for salvation. Salvation's pattern. And you obey it from the heart. So if you don't obey from the heart God's pattern of salvation, are you going to be saved anyway? Can I be saved any way I want, even if I don't follow God's pattern to be saved? No, I'll be deceived. The world will hear that message. The world likes that message. But that world is of the evil one, John wrote. But we're of God. The apostles are of God. They revealed God's word on the matter. God says, I've got a pattern. That pattern is revealed in the letter to the Romans. It's a pattern that begins with hearing the gospel. In Romans 1:16, it said, the gospel is God's power of salvation to all who believe. But in Romans 10:14, how can they believe in Him whom they've not heard? You've got to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got to hear about sin and salvation. That's why He sent them into the world to preach a gospel to people lost in sin. The gospel is preached to those who are lost to save them. So they've got to hear it. We need to be the bearers of the message so people come into contact with it. God's pattern of salvation is once hearing the gospel, it is sufficient to produce belief. We've got to believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead to be saved, Romans 10, 9 and 10. And whoever believes on Him will not be put to shame, Romans 10 and verse 11. So inasmuch as the gospel is God's power to those of salvation to those who believe, that belief is that Jesus is the Lord and that He's been raised from the dead. That He is the Son of God. The book of Romans says the goodness of God leads us to repentance. To change our heart. Change our mind about our sin. To stop sin. And to turn to righteousness. The book of Romans teaches us this pattern of salvation involves confessing with our mouth Jesus as Lord. For with a heart, with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation, in order to, in the direction of salvation. So, acknowledgement of faith is necessary to be saved. The pattern of salvation, as Romans 6, 3 and 4 says, Are you ignorant that all we who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were buried therefore with Him through baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised from the dead to the glory of the Father, even so you also should walk in newness of life. There's a pattern of being baptized into Christ, dying to sin, so that we may be raised to walk in a new life of salvation. Now, this is God's pattern. See, it came from the apostles. Now, if God told Moses, make that tabernacle according to the pattern I showed you, and God had an exact pattern, and He expected the furniture to be just so in size and just so in construction, and so with all the articles of the tabernacle, how much more when He's building a new creature in Christ Jesus? To take the sinner and purge that sinner. Sure, God could do it any way He wanted. But this is the way He chose. He chose to reveal a pattern. A pattern of the gospel, salvation. So, the question then is, will I follow the pattern? Will I, in faith, having heard the gospel, have faith? Will I repent of my sin and confess my faith that Jesus is the Son of God and be baptized to be saved? That's the pattern that we must teach and must continue to teach. And by the way, it's a pattern that then says, be faithful to Jesus Christ. because that's just the beginning to become a Christian. Now you're saved from your past sins. Now, the book of Romans also shows us we who died to sin when we were baptized, how shall we any longer continue therein? No, he says, remember the goodness and the severity of God. And if we turn back to sin, we'll face God's severity. So in chapter 12, he says, "Be living, present your bodies as living sacrifices, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." A pattern of salvation. Paul said he became a pattern for salvation. In 1 Timothy 1, he used the word, verses 15 and 16, he said, I, as the chief of sinners, God took me, the chief of sinners, and made me a pattern. He says, how that by this reason I obtained mercy, that in me Jesus Christ might show all longsuffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on Him for everlasting life. He says, I'm a pattern to others. A pattern of a sinner who did not believe in Christ, who persecuted Christians, who gave His consent to their death, who imprisoned them. But his heart was changed. He was told what he must do to arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. God took the vilest of sinners, and in His mercy, He forgave him. God's grace is greater than our sin. He can save us, whatever sin we've committed. Paul becomes a pattern of that for us and the whole world. There's moral and ethical patterns in the New Testament. Titus 2, 11 and 12 says, the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us, teaching us to the intent that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. Paul said in Acts the 20th chapter 33 through 35 that he showed you. He said, I showed you how you ought to conduct yourself. He used the expression, showed you. He was a pattern. He was an example there of how to care for the poor and to not covet as he makes his application. The New Testament is full of moral, ethical patterns that we're to follow. You see, without these patterns from God, there are no absolutes. And that's kind of where the mind of society is. As in the days of the judges, every man did what was right in his own eyes. We live in such a time, I suppose in large part, but there's always been that element in the world. You see, if there's no pattern of what is moral and what is ethical, then morality is situational. It's fluid. It's individually defined. Stealing, it's not always stealing, and lying's not always lying, and adultery is not always adultery. You know, sin is not always sin, and we don't use that term anymore. We don't use that word sin because that's just too judgmental. You see, the whole idea of patterns implies necessarily there is a standard. It is a God-given standard. And when we follow that standard, we're not being too strict. We're not self-defining. We're letting the Bible teach that standard, reveal that standard, and we're following it. Now, the world says it's too strict. The world says it's not right, but then that's the world. But God has revealed His pattern in morality and ethics, and He expects, and we commit ourselves to following that pattern. Doctrinally, the things which you've heard from me among many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. You see, what the apostles taught, it can be defined, it can be understood. It is a pattern to follow. Back to 2 Timothy 1:13, the pattern of sound words that you heard from me. That's the inspired word of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is a pattern. It is to be held fast. It is our source for our authority. But I want to make this one other point before we close. When you follow God's patterns, you become a pattern for others to follow. You become an example. Philippians 3:17. It's not just that, well, we've got the apostles to be an example. God challenges us to become examples. And that's the question that we need to drill down into our hearts this morning. Am I an example? What kind of an example am I? When God has set forth a pattern for me, am I following that pattern so I can in turn be a pattern, be an example for someone else? Philippians 3:17, brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk. So Paul's a pattern, and he says, now take note of those who are following that pattern. As you have us for a pattern. The apostles are a pattern, but there's others following it. Sometimes we know very clearly those who are following the pattern of the world, but he says, note those who are following the pattern of the apostles. You become a pattern. You become an example, a specimen to follow. Elders are a pattern. 1 Peter 5 and verse 3, not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. There's our word, pattern. Same word, tupos. He says, our elders are an example to the flock. So you see, when the elders are following God's patterns, then they're a pattern that we can follow and are to follow because they're our examples. 1 Timothy 4 and 12, the preacher was told to be an example. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12, Timothy said, let no one despise your youth. Now, his context is clearly within that of telling this young man his work and role and responsibilities preaching the gospel. Sure, there's a principle here for every one of us, but he's telling this preacher, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Again, he uses the word tupos, pattern. Now, faithful Christians, none of us are getting out of this. We're all supposed to be patterns, examples for others. You see, we are to be so impressed upon by the gospel of Jesus Christ, the impression is to be made upon us so that when others see that impression, they can follow that example. You see, follow the pattern. 1 Thessalonians 1, verses 6 and 7. 1 Thessalonians 1, 6 and 7. Paul said, you became followers of us, imitators of us, and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. There's the word again, tupos. You followed the apostles, and you became examples to other brethren. That's what God wants of us. Follow the apostolic examples. Follow the pattern of the New Testament. In word, in faith, in conduct, in doctrine, let us be an example. Let us be a pattern that others can see and others can follow and so follow Jesus. You see, because it points back to the one who is the one who made the impression. Whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. He's the one that impacts. He's the one who's made the blow, if you please. He's our example in all things. 1 Peter 2:21. But you see, now whatever we do, we follow that pattern. In 3 John 11, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Become imitators, mimicking what is good. Because he who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God. The one who's of God follows the things of God, the God-given patterns. Who was the tabernacle from? Was it from Moses? It was from God. It was His pattern. It was from God. So you see, we follow His pattern, then of good, and we're of God. That you might not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Brethren, following the pattern of God takes vigilance. It takes endurance. Some call us legalists for insisting on New Testament patterns. They call us patternists. Give me the pattern of the apostles of Jesus Christ and of the New Testament any day of the week and twice on Sunday than the pattern of the world, than the pattern of the wisdom of men that cannot and never will lead us to God or to the things of God. Yes, we intend to follow the pattern of the New Testament. And in doing that, honor the one who gave us the pattern and receive the blessings that he says come from being those who look into the perfect law of liberty and continue in it. And so we'll be blessed by the doing. That begins, my friend, by being saved from your past sins. Because unless you follow the pattern of salvation, you'll remain lost. We urge you today in faith, repent, confess your faith, and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Or if you're a Christian and you've walked in sin, you've allowed sin to find its place in your heart, repent of that. Turn your heart back to God. Let us pray to God for His forgiveness. We can encourage you in that. We can urge you to respond to His call. Won't you come while we stand and sing?
Here's the voice of Jesus. Savior.